الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر.
بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow, and we are broadcasting live all the way from Toronto, Canada, with a very special program. And the location, what's the name of the building where we are right now?
International Muslim Organization.
The International Muslim Organization?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. All right. And we have Muslims from all over the place. Do we have any non-Muslim guests with us today? Are there any who are non-Muslim guests with us today? Are there any Muslims who are not acting like Muslims today? Never mind, I don't need the percentage on that one. Anyhow, our topic today is, it's about faith, right? We're ready.
Increasing faith.
Okay. Okay, Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam Rasulullah. You listen to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting live from Toronto, Canada. And our topic today is increasing the faith
in difficult times.
In difficult times. Yeah, that, by the way, a very timely topic, I would say, considering everything. Let's begin by referring to some of the things that help increase our faith. And what is faith? In Islam, faith is something very special. The word iman is used to represent the word faith in English, or vice versa. And so we want to talk about iman and what it is, and then how to increase it in difficult times. And what is iman? Does Allah use this word in the Quran? And the answer is absolutely. He uses it many, many, many times in the Quran. In fact, it's one of the most used words out of the 3,000 or so words that are used over and over in the Quran. This word iman and forms of it pop up all over the place. One of them is when it says, Alladina yu'minuna. And there you are, listen to that, yu'minun. What does that mean? It means those are the ones who have iman. And then, Alladina amanu wa amilu salihat. Those who have iman and do righteous deeds. Those are phrases that you hear throughout the Quran over and over and over. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Oh, you who believe, you who have iman. So these terms are coming up over and over and over. So, and it's very important that we understand that we, as well as those before us, were commanded nothing more than to believe in Allah, keep religion pure for Him, establish regular worship, and pay zakah. And this is the religion most clear. And I took that from Surat Al-Bayyinah for a reference, but you'll find similar things throughout the Quran. وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ دِينَهُ نَفَعَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيِّمَةِ. Just wanted you to know I can speak some Arabic, that's all. Anyhow, we got that out of the way. I want you to know that this word iman is what we're talking about when we talk about faith. And let me tell you why. Because for those who are not really familiar with the terminology in Islam, then sometimes they will substitute a meaning that comes from something else. Why? Because in Christianity, for instance, they talk about faith, but they use it in a very loose way. Very, very loose. I recall that when the person who was teaching me Islam was talking about faith and belief, this is what he told me. Because he realized I was a Christian who was out here as a missionary calling people from, you know, disbelief to Christianity. And it was my first experience really trying to convert a Muslim, you know. So here I was going after him, and he saw it. He was very clear on this subject. He said, well, if your faith, or if your belief, if your religion is better than mine, then I'm willing to go to it. And I said, great. This is fantastic. Just, you know, fill the tank up with water and we'll baptize him tonight. Get him all wet and, you know, he's good to go. And the surprise came, though, when he finished the sentence and he said, but you will have to have proof. And I said, huh? Proof? Religion's not about proof, man. Religion is about faith. And there's the word. You see it? And that's what I said. That's exactly how I addressed the issue. Religion is about faith. It's not about proof. And he said in Islam, it's about both. Proof and belief in the proof. Because Allah doesn't ask us to accept anything without at least some show. Some show of proof, some evidence. And this is very famous in Islam. You are never required anything. Somebody come up to you and say, "Brother, didn't you know you can't wear a blue cap inside a building?" Your response or your reply to me has to be what? "Anandalu. Where's your proof, man?" Right? Isn't that right? We always say, "Where is your proof?" Because without proof, I don't have to buy it. Does it make sense? So when we talk about faith, we're not really saying the same thing that those people are talking about. We're talking about iman. And iman means an established belief based on something that is substantial, that you can say, "Yes, I believe, and this is why." So in Islam, it's not wrong to ask why. And one of the things that will help you in your belief is to be able to be free to ask why, and then get the good answers that go with it. So don't be shy to ask why. Hey, maybe that's what we should have called the program, right?
Don't be shy to ask why.
I like that.
It's a good name for a t-shirt.
It's a good name for a t-shirt. I mean, Malik, where do you get this stuff?
I don't know.
Good name on a t-shirt. I wish I'd have thought of that. Anyhow, I tell you what, if we do it, let's split the money half and half.
That's why I'm the co-host.
That's why you're the co-host. Anyway, we're talking about iman. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting live. Those of you who just tuned in, you're just in time. You didn't miss anything big except a couple of pretty good jokes. But stick around, and we got more coming for you right now. In the meantime, just so that you'll know, you can visit us on the internet at www.islamtomorrow.com. ISLAMTOMORROW.com. You'll find the websites open 24 hours a day, and there's always plenty of free parking. By the way, you can laugh at the jokes if you want to. But either way, I'm going to tell them. Either way, laugh or don't, you're going to have to suffer through it. Let's talk about our faith. What helps us in our faith? One of the things is to be able to ask why. Why? Now, you know, it's funny because when we're kids, that's natural inclination of a child, isn't it? Have you ever noticed that about kids? Mm-hmm. Why? Well, because that's why. Well, certainly if you have why. And then if you, why? Well, that's because, why? 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 Because I'm going to. Why? And kids will do that until you, long after you're through answering, they're still saying why. Am I right? So in Islam, it's correct. It is correct to give the answers. It's correct to ask the question. But eventually you're going to run up against something that's going to be too much. And you're not going to know the answer. And I'll give you an example of that. There are some areas where you have to back off if you don't know the answer. If somebody asks you, for instance, when do we pray? Okay, we make salah when? Well, minimum 5 times a day. When? Well, when the sun comes up, just before that, right after it passes the meridian high, the mid-afternoon, and then right after the sun goes down, and then somewhere about an hour and a half afterwards, give or take. And that's pretty much the 5 times a day. Okay. Where? Any place except the bathroom and dirty places that you don't want to put your head. Oh, okay. And how? Well, we stand, bow, prostrate, and sit. Oh. What do we say? Well, we say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And then to the end, Assalamu Alaikum Rahmatullah. Oh, what direction do we face? Qibla. Toward what? Toward Mecca. You see the questions, how they're coming? And you're answering, you see? But then all of a sudden, why do we pray? Now, stop and ask yourself a question. Why do we pray? Why do we pray? Because Allah said in the Quran to establish a salah, establish the salah, iqamah salah. That's exactly what the imam is saying to you, iqamah salah. And that's what the muadhin is saying, establish the salah. This is something that we're supposed to do. So it's in the Quran. Okay. But how do you know it's five times a day? Does it say that in the Quran five times a day? Well, it refers to it. Actually, in the Quran, you'll find references to Fajr. There's a surah called Fajr. But it doesn't actually say pray. In that surah, it doesn't actually say pray at Fajr time, does it? Think about it, it doesn't. Okay, there's another surah called Al-Asr. And we pray Al-Asr, but it doesn't say anything about praying in there either. Except to do righteous good deeds. But it doesn't actually say pray five times a day, does it? What page of the Quran does it say pray five times a day? It doesn't. Nowhere. Now wait a minute. Don't anybody run out that door till you hear the rest of this. You're not escaping, by the way. You say, oh great, leave now before he tells us the rest of it. We don't have to pray. Yes you do. Yes you do. Because there's something in the Quran that is very clear when it tells us to obey Allah, ati Allah, and the Rasul, and obey the Messenger of Allah. So you are not in compliance with Quran until you are also in compliance with the teachings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is for the benefit of those who may have maybe on the website or somewhere heard people say, well, I follow the Quran but I don't follow the Sunnah. You cannot say you follow Quran and you don't follow Hadith. This doesn't make any sense. The only way you know the Quran is through Hadith. The Quran was never written by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was recited. That's why it's called Quran instead of being called Al-Kitab. It's called Al-Quran. Because writing a book down, it would be a book, Kitab. But Quran is Quran. And it is recitation, and it was recited to Muhammad. By who? By Jibril, the angel Gabriel, peace be upon him, alayhi salam. Then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recites the Quran to who? To his companions, and then they recite it to their companions, and so, and so, and so, until today. Is that true or false? So that is hadith. The Quran is hadith, and the famous statement of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَإِنَا إِسْتَقَلْ هِدِيثِ كَتَابُ اللَّهِ. The best of hadith is the book of Allah. So that is a form of hadith. And then there are hadith called hadith Qudsi. Now this is Allah's speech, but it's in the form that the Prophet ﷺ would like to narrate it. It is not a part of the Quran, and you cannot recite it in your salat to equal Quran. But it's still what Allah said. But in this case, this has to be verified by the riwayah, so you know the chain of narrators to be sure of the quality of the hadith. Because a hadith Qudsi isn't necessarily sahih. It could be weak or even fabricated, although I don't know any fabricated ones. I do know about some weak ones. Now, in this case, we have now come to something called the knowledge or the study of hadith. And in this area, this is where we begin to learn about what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, and you learn it through these narrations called hadith or his sunnah. Everybody with me? Okay, I'm not boring you yet, am I? Then what are you laying down for? I'm bad. Okay. So, I'm just saying it so you can see something, how to increase your faith. Because if you understand the Quran is mu'ajiza, a miracle, it should be that you know the source of this Quran, where it comes from and what it's all about. But how can you know that if you don't know anything about it? So begin to read the Quran and understand that this was 1400 years ago and nobody's ever changed it. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's the one who explained what does it mean. So when you want to know what the Quran says, don't go to the lexicon, don't go to a dictionary in Arabia. See, I said it like I know what I'm doing, huh?
Yeah,
you like
nice.
That? It's cool?
That was cool.
Yeah, cool. Don't go to the Mawrid of the Lagu Arabia, coming on strong. Don't do that. Go to someone who knows or go to the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam for yourself and see what did he say this means. Because sometimes the words don't give the meaning that Allah wants you to understand. A couple of points and then we'll move off of that. One is the surah, which is إِذِ جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَفَتْ, which is Surah An-Nasr. Most of you, everybody who memorized it, raise your hand. Everybody. Oh, come on, man. You guys get to work on this. This will help increase your faith right away. Start memorizing Quran. That'll help a lot. That will help a lot. Okay, when you know this surah, then learn something about the surah. Do you know that this surah is the subject of a famous hadith of Omar radiallahu anhu? And what happened one time when Omar was having like halakha or groups and people together, the older ones were kind of concerned about a young one who was sitting with them. And they were like, you know, move on, boy. And Omar radiallahu anhu realized what they were doing. So look what he did. He said, who will tell me what Allah meant when he revealed this surah? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. You know what? I've got somebody sitting next to me whom I think would be real good at reciting this. I'm going to put him to work right now.
Gosh.
I'm a nice guy. Just slip that right up on you. Here you go.
Go ahead.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفر إنه كان توابا.
ما شاء الله. Okie dokie, I'm gonna move all this stuff back. And by the way, here's your treat. Every time you do good, we give you a treat. Like a, you know, you have a trained seal on you. So, anyhow.
You feel like you're on a sinking ship.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, so this surah is well known, and the emir, which was Omar at that time, he asked them, tell me what did Allah mean when he revealed this. And what they did, they gave the meaning of the words. And they said, when you see the help of Allah, when it comes, and the opening, fatih, or the victory, and you see the people coming into the deen of Allah, afwaja, which is big numbers, then hymn the praises of your Lord and turn to Him, ever turning to Him in repentance. And basically that's what they all said, something like this. And when they were done, he turned to this boy and he said, what did Allah mean when He revealed this? What was it to signify? And he stood up, I guess, and he said, it was to signify the death of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now how do you get that out of that? How do you get that? And look what Omar said, radiallahu anhu. He said, I don't know anything other than what this boy said. Whoa. So that's what the meaning is. That's it. The meaning is still there in the Arabic language. Don't doubt that either. But I'm saying, if you want to know why it was sent down, what was the reason, you just now found out. And that's not something you could jump to a conclusion on, is it? There's no way you could do that. Somebody would have to tell you. And that's why it's important to know what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said about the words in the Quran. Let me give you one more before I move off the subject. How many of you are familiar with the verse in An-Nisa when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about and beat them? Oh yeah, everybody's heard this. Even if you don't know where it is, you heard it because the kuffar are coming at us all the time. Oh, why do you have to beat your wives? Why do you have to beat up your wives? Have you women, ladies, you know about this subject where it said in Quran, it's chapter 4, An-Nisa, verse 34. And it says what? What's the word in Arabic? Huh? From the that's the form used there. What's from what word? Garaba. Garaba meaning to do what? Hit. And whenever you translate this, subhanAllah, I found one, it's saying beat your wives, And another one said, scourge your wives. Yusuf Ali's translation. Scourge your wives. Scourge, man. Now that's like taking a whip, right? And getting out here and working up a sweat. Just bam, boom, bam, bam. Oh, I feel, I'll have to take a break. Come back to this later.
That's what I'm thinking right now.
Too much. So let's ask the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does that mean? What does that mean? And in the hadith, the clear hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in regard to that verse and that word, he took a toothstick, which is miswak, no bigger than a toothbrush today, and on the same order, and he showed this is what you would do, and he tapped himself. And that's the meaning of it. It means a tap. And that's all it can mean, because that's what he said it means. Nothing more. Nothing more. That's the meaning. Tap. That's it. And then only if it's worth something of value, because what it's talking about here, it's a beautiful verse. It starts out showing the rights of women in this verse. It says that the men, Rajulan, not Nas, not the human beings, but men in particular, are the protectors and providers for the Anisa, the women. Protectors and providers, meaning that men have to go to work to protect these ladies and feed them and clothe them and shelter them and care for them, and the women don't have to do squat when it comes to making any money. And if they do make any money, they get to keep it all. Take beer? Yeah, I know where that Allahu Akbar came from. All right. I'm real popular with the ladies, by the way. I guess so. Wait till I tell them the part where they're supposed to bring you jewelry every so often. Did you know about that? You didn't know that? Oh, we'll get together. We'll talk. Anyhow. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow, and we are broadcasting live all the way from Toronto, Canada. And, you know, we were out in California recently, and it was supposed to be sunny California, and it was raining. And we're up here in Toronto, and we got the sun up here, so I guess it got kind of mixed up. Alhamdulillah. And we'd like to encourage you to visit our website often. Come to adli.net, and you can also visit us through our website at islamtomorrow.com. We have a number of other websites, not the least of which is Islam Yesterday, where you can hear the recordings of the programs that we're doing today. If I've got you confused, don't worry about it. Just go on the internet somewhere and you'll figure it out. You know. Okay, so we're back. And we're talking about how to increase your faith in times of difficulty. You notice how as we progress on, I get the title down. Anyhow, yeah, I'm cool like that. Anyhow, so that's the title, and that's what we're working on. And we've been talking about how that in Islam it's okay to ask questions, and that's one of the things that will help increase your faith, provided what? Provided you can get a good answer. Now that's a problem now. Where are we going to get these good answers? And the where to go is the Quran itself. If you don't know the Arabic language, you really do need to investigate this and begin to study and learn as much as you can, as fast as you can, because that's where the Quran is. It's in Arabic. It's not in English. It's not in French. You know, and it's not in Urdu. It's in Arabia. Got it? And really, it's beautiful. It's very beautiful. Not just in sound, but in meaning. The way Allah can say so much with just a very few words. And so powerful, especially way with, when Allah doubles them up. And He says, Kala, Bala. Whoa. This is like no way, Jose, Don't go there. I mean, it's big time when Allah says it like this. And when Allah reaffirms them, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatul qadr. For sure, without a doubt, He's the one who sent it down on the night of power. So learn the Arabic language. Then learn the hadith. Learn what the Prophet ﷺ said about the Quran. This will help your iman. Trust me. Why? Because the thing that makes your iman weak is doubt. You have doubt. You don't believe as you should. You believe, alhamdulillah, but you don't believe as you should because you have doubt. And when you attain a higher level in iman, it becomes something called yaqeen. And when it becomes yaqeen, iman or mu'min becomes up even higher. And that's beautiful. Because everybody starts out as a Muslim. But once you have submitted your will to Allah's will, that's called Islam. Submitting to God's will is Islam. And the one who does it is a Islam, Muslim. And when you start to get the faith and understand it and act on it, that's when a person starts to move up to Iman and inshallah becomes mu'min. But you don't get to say that. You know why? Who will tell me, 114 chapters, which one tells you don't call yourself mu'min? Anybody? Yes. What's your name?
Bilal.
Bilal. How old are you, Bilal? How old are you?
16.
16? Okay. Where is this? What surah?
Not sure.
Not sure? Matt, what'd you raise your hand for? I ask you what surah it's in. 114 surahs, where is it? Is it in surah Hujurat? It is? Okay, go ahead. Now what does it say? Yes. And he's talking to who?
To new converted Arabs.
The Arabs, right, the Bedouin actually. He's talking to the Bedouins who the Arabs had said, we're mu'min now. And Allah said, don't say that you are mu'min because the iman has not yet entered your qalb, heart, right? Rather, say that you have aslam, you have submitted, right? Is that close enough? You accept that? Alhamdulillah, Allahu a'lam. So that's one of the things I want to emphasize, that we study, we learn, sit in the circles of knowledge and do that. Do that. Spend time together and make it fun. Make it fun, because I'm going to tell you something. You can't attract these kids today. You can't attract the people today by making it too tough and making it boring. Everybody sit up real straight. And you never sit up straight any other time. Well, you're going to sit up only when you read the Quran. You're going to sit up straight. It's nice. It's sunnah. But if you told them that's the only way you can do it, you're going to have a lot of these sloppy kids who are going to go, hey, forget it. I'm not going to try it. So step by step, let's get them interested. Let's let them find out some things. And then after two or three times, then let's start getting them to sit up a little straighter and getting off the walls and curling their feet the way they ought to. But go step by step. I'm talking to the teachers now. Take it easy, because we need participants in these programs, or else you don't need a job anymore, do you? So let's work together on encouraging each other to get more knowledge, because that's the first point of increasing your iman, is to have some knowledge of what you're talking about. Because there is no la ilaha illallah just by saying it. The first point is you have to have knowledge, yes or no. We have an article called The 9 Points of Shahada that I basically pirated out of, one of the magazines somewhere. Anyway, it's a great article, and we published it on the internet some years ago. I've had it so long I consider it my article, but really it's not. But it's a translation of explaining the points of the Shahada, and it's the very first point. You have to know what it is. Because what good is it to just say, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah? Do you know you can teach a parrot how to do that? And then what? And what? You got a parrot going, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah.
Not bad.
Not bad, huh? For a parrot. But parrot was already Muslim anyway. And you did not give him shahada, okay? So what I'm saying is, step by step, let's get the knowledge, but let's get it in a way that we can use it. So that you understand in today's world, here in Toronto, Canada, what it means and how to use it. Because right after you get the knowledge, then's the next step. Practice it. Practice it. What are some of the things we need to know to increase our iman? What are some of the things? First, we need to know about the Quran. Then we need to know something about Hadith so that we believe in it as we talk about it. Because if you don't have confidence in it, what is that? Right? So get this confidence through exposure to the right way. You can use our website for that. We have many, many pages, over 2,000 pages and about 8,000 plus links to other pages from our website just for this purpose. We have an area for the Sharia of Islam, Islamic law. We have another area for the effect of Islam, jurisprudence of Islam, and the various matahab and how to understand that. We have an area in there all about salah, another area talking about iman or belief and faith. So if you go and you print out the articles, you can do that. There's no copyrights on our website. Use it. And come to our website and listen to the talks. We have some beautiful talks by one of our sisters in Islam, Sister Layla. She gives beautiful stories and helps explain about the Tawheed in Islam. Her Tawheed classes are day after day after day after day. Any day you want to go, practically you've got something in there about the Tawheed. She's constantly working on this subject. And she brings it real straightforward in modern day terms. I mean, she's not playing around with you. She'll give it to you just straight up. Then we have other ulama, scholars, who come on our websites. And we just had one from Egypt who just finished his program right before this. For the benefit of those who didn't know it, they have every Sunday from, I guess it's, 3 to 4 or 4 to 5? 4 to 5, I guess it is. And you don't want to miss that. These are good things for you to tune into. All of these things will help increase your faith because it increases your workable knowledge. Not just knowledge, workable knowledge. What can you do with that? Do you know why you pray? Let's go back to our question. Why do we pray? Well, the reason you pray, Allah ordered you to pray. That's the reason, isn't it? And the Prophet ﷺ ordered us to pray. But then there's the beautiful hadith called the Hadith of Jibril. How many of you know the hadith? You know which one I'm talking about? When the Prophet ﷺ was, I guess they were outside, I guess it was. And they were talking about, it's Omar, that's who it is, who narrates this hadith. He says that there was one who came up out of the desert, but his clothes were exceedingly white, his hair was exceedingly black, meaning there were no signs of travel on him. And he went right up to the Prophet ﷺ and he put his knees to his knees and his hands on his thighs and he said to him, "Ya Muhammad, what is Islam?" And the Prophet ﷺ answered him, "Islam is the Shahada, the Salat, the Zakat, the fasting Ramadan, and the Hajj to Mecca." And then the one replies back to him and says, "You've spoken correctly." And they were amazed. Who is this to ask a question and then to say that he spoke correctly? And then he asked him about Iman, which is the subject we're on right now. He said, "What is Iman?" So pay attention, because now you're going to find out what's Iman. Iman is to believe in Allah, to believe in His angels, to believe in His books, to believe in the messengers of Allah, to believe in the Yawmul Qiyamah, or Day of Standing, literal translation, Day of Standing or Resurrection in English, and the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he mentioned Ihsan, which is about worshipping Allah with sincerity. Then he also asked about the signs of the hour. The purpose of this talk today is not about those other subjects, so I'm going to hold myself just to this one topic when he said, "What is Iman?" And we're going to be on that just in a second, right after we do a little ID. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow. We are broadcasting live. We're here in Toronto, Canada. And we're with the brothers and sisters here. And remind me?
International Muslim Organization.
What?
International Muslim Organization.
That was Abdul Malik who said that. International Muslim Organization. And alhamdulillah, this is a good chance for us to switch. I'm going to switch our patch because this, I can hear this, the connection I have breaking. And I'll be right back online just in a couple of seconds. Stand by, and if you're online, you're in time. We'll be right back after this. You're getting a phone call.
Do you have a commercial or something from you?
That's where we got a place for commercials, right?
Is that right?
Yeah, why not? If we ever get any sponsors. All right, then we're back. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Good to go. Okay. One little piece of business. That's good water. Anyhow, You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting live all the way from Toronto, Canada, and we're on the subject talking about how to increase the iman or increase the faith during times of difficulty. For those of you who just tuned in, we've already covered the fact that we said that it's important to increase your knowledge. We gave some examples. We talked about you cannot understand the Quran and the Sunnah without having proper knowledge of both. And we discussed getting involved in learning. We talked about learning the Arabic language and that will help. And now we're talking about a particular hadith or a saying and teaching of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it comes from this called Hadith of Jibril. And in this case, we mentioned that Jibril, alayhi salam, the angel came to Muhammad and he asked about what iman was. And the response to the angel from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, iman is to believe in Allah, to believe in His angels, His books, His messengers, the day of resurrection, and the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's talk about those before we wrap it all up and take them point by point. What are these 6 points of belief? Because they're a crucial part of iman, and without them you cannot really say you are a Muslim, because you just got through hearing that this is condition. Just as the 5 pillars of Islam and the actions are a part of being a Muslim, so are these very important teachings in belief, and actually they come before the actions. So let's talk about that. What do we believe about Allah? That's the first subject. And we believe, as Allah said in His Quran, that He is the one who alladhi khalaqa samawati wal ard. He is the one who created the heavens and earth. Fi sitta yawm, in 6 days or periods of time. Thumma astawa ala arsh, and then He rose above His arsh or His throne. Okay, so this is something we know about Allah from His book. He also tells us in the Quran, "Qul huwa Allahu ahad." Say He's Allah. He is the unique Allahu samad, the one who through all eternity, His creation is depending on Him, but He is not depending on it. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He is not the father of anybody, and He's not the offspring of anybody. وَلَمْ يَكُلُهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. And He is not like anything that He's created anywhere, anytime, any place. And He is ahad, unique. He also says about Himself in the Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنِ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومُ لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَاللَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَلَا يَئُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. The meaning to English plus or minus, this is very famous. I'm sure even the children here memorize this, called Ayatul Kursi. It's verse number 255 in Surah Baqarah, chapter 2 of the Quran. And the simple and beautiful meaning here, it said, Allahu, la ilaha illahu. Allah, He is the one beside whom there is none other worthy to be worshipped. He is alive and eternal. He doesn't get tired and He doesn't sleep. Then get wore out. It said, Sinatun wala naum. What is naum? Sleep. You know? As-salatu khayrun min naum. Naum, sleep. Then it says, everything that's in the heaven and earth, it belongs to Him. Everything. Heaven and earth, it's belonging to Him. Then he asks a question. This is called a rhetorical question. It means you don't need to answer it. The answer is already there. Who is it that can make any kind of intercession between Allah and His creation? Except that Allah has to give him permission to do it in the first place. Meaning what? There's no partner with Him in any way, shape, or form. Nobody can tell Allah what to do. Then he says that His knowledge, Allah's knowledge, is in front of and behind His creation. Meaning He knows the future, He knows the past, and you don't. And then he says, His kursi extends over the universe. And somebody asks about that. They want to know what's this kursi. Is that His arsh? And the Prophet ﷺ said no. So this is not the verse of the throne. It's the verse of the chair. Because the Prophet ﷺ told us that His kursi compares to His arsh, His chair or seat compares to His throne, like you would take a ring and throw it in the desert. Take a ring and throw it in the desert. This is a comparison of size. And we can't even imagine what kind of size we're talking about. Amazing. In any case, then it continues, and it said that Allah, He is not getting tired or worn out of preserving this, and He is Aliyul Adeem. He is mighty and above and Adeem. Tremendous. More tremendous than even His creation. Then, by the way, a very good statement to sum that up is Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater than anything He created, isn't it? It's a good statement. So, from these verses, we've learned a lot about the one we believe in. But there's a lot more that we need to know. Laysa kamithlihi shay'in. Allah never is like His creation. This clearly means Allah is never in His creation, because that would mean He would be like it. So we don't say Allah is everywhere. This is an important reason why Muslims today are having weak iman. It's because they don't know that Allah is not everywhere. Before I said this just now, how many of you would have said, if somebody asked you, where is Allah? You would have said, He's everywhere. How many would have said that? Okay, so this is why this weak iman. Because Allah is not everywhere. What's the example? Example? Did you see a beautiful rainbow? Did you see a beautiful day? And you said, oh, Allah is in this beautiful thing that I'm seeing. And you're perceiving something without realizing you're making a partner with Allah. You're saying it's so beautiful, it's so amazing. Look at the universe. Allah is everywhere in the universe. He's in every atom, He's in every molecule. Because this is pantheism. This is what has been taught to us by the society that we live in. Those who choose to believe in God in their way, such as the Hindus, such as the Native American Indians, who put God in the creation and they say He's everywhere, He's in you, He's in me. This is not the teaching in Islam. And if a person believe it, it will lower their iman. But it's not right. I'm not saying somebody's kafir that says this. I'm saying they didn't know yet. I'm saying they don't know. So once you know it though, don't ever do it again. Don't never say it again. Because Allah, His knowledge is everywhere. His hearing is everywhere. His sight is everywhere. Yes. But you don't put Allah in the creation. Why? Because then He's subject to it. And how would you understand a samad if you just got through saying that He's dependent or He's part of the creation? You see? Make sense? So that means another step. Another step is to learn the names of Allah. His asma wa safat. Learn about this. That's a part of the tawheed that we believe in. Learn about that. And learn about the tawheed rububiyyah, His lordship. And learn about the tawheed uluhiyyah. These can be done in seminars or lectures or after fajr every morning or a program in the evening after maghrib. Your imam can sit and tell you this. Because imams, they know about this. They should. If they don't, get a new imam. I'm serious. You don't need somebody teaching you don't know more than you do. But anyway, I'm saying that it's critical to know what we believe about Allah, because that's the first point. The second point is, we said you believe in Allah's angels. Now, I'll show you why a weakness here, and each one of these points, you might not realize it, this is one of the beginnings of getting doubts and becoming weak in faith. How many of you know about the devil? You ever heard of the devil or Lucifer or Iblis? You know this guy? And somebody asked you about this guy, and he used to be an angel, but he's a fallen angel. How many of you heard it? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You heard that, right? Absolutely incorrect. Absolutely incorrect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, you don't even have to go to the hadith, He said that He's created from what? Because he was complaining to Allah. Iblis himself said, why should I make sajda? It was an order of Allah, make sajda, because He had created Adam. He said, why should I make sajda to Adam, who you made out of this dirt, this crud, and here I am made out of a smokeless fire. Are angels made from a smokeless fire? No, they're not. They're made from nur, light. Who's made from the smokeless fire? Allah told us about them. There's a whole surah about them in the Quran. Huh? The surah is called Al-Jinn. These are the jinn. And the word in English, genie, comes from this word jinn. Okay, so he's a genie. He's not in a bottle. But I've heard about spirits in the bottles, and we're not supposed to do that either. And if you knew what I meant, you're shame on you. Anyhow, you're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting live from Toronto, Canada. For those of you who just tuned in, we're talking about the subject of iman, or faith, and how to increase it in difficult times. Why are we even having a difficult time? Did we ask ourselves that question? Do you know why? Who put us in the times that we're in right now? Who? Allah. You don't have that kind of power. But Allah did it. Why? Because of what we're doing. Allah never changes the condition of a people until they change themselves. Right or wrong? And actually, the ulama have said that this is not talking about making people in better condition. It happens to be referring to taking people from a good condition and putting them in a lower condition. How many of you knew that? And what's the reference? Because it came with Adam, alayhi salam. He was in a good condition, but then he sinned. He broke a rule that Allah set out. Don't eat from that tree. He did it. Eve did it. Both of them did it. As a result of what they had done, they were then in a lower condition. So Allah didn't change their condition until they changed themselves. But likewise, it's also understood the reverse is true as well. If you want to be in a better condition, change yourself, and Allah, He'll put you in a better condition. Make sense? Of course. Of course. Now, that doesn't argue really with the so-called modern scientists of psychology and philosophy who tell us that just think positive, right? Well, I'm saying think and do positive. And if you're really on the right way, then Allah will make things better for you. The Prophet ﷺ told us the condition of a believer is ajib, amazing. Because only good things happen to him. Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. Only good things are happening to the believers. So if you're having a bad day, what are you going to say? Oops. Ooh. This is a hadith. Good hadith. How many of you know this hadith? Ajibat is the condition of the mu'min because good happens to him. In the case of when anything bad comes his way, good comes his way, he says, Alhamdulillah, he's thankful to Allah, shukr Allah. And when anything bad happens to him, any fitna or calamity, he is sabr, patient. I'm having trouble with the English today. How about that? Okay, well, that's because I'm from Texas. I don't speak English. I speak Texan. Now we're back on subject again. By the way, no Texas jokes right now. We're serious. I'm not going to make any jokes about you know that guy who followed me to Washington. Anyway, back to our subject. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're talking about increasing the iman or the faith in times of difficulty. One of the ways, another way is to learn about we mentioned Allah and His angels. Now let's learn about something else. Oh, and by the way, before I get off the subject of the angels, when I talk to you about Iblis, that is the belief of the Christians and the Jews that Iblis used to be an angel. And that's what makes it confusing to them, because they can't figure out how an angel who has no free will all of a sudden broke off and did something weird. Okay, so it messes them up in their iman. Trust me, it does. That's one of the problems you're going to have. So stay with the right belief. As Allah said in the Quran, Iblis was a jinn. He was elevated up to the ranks of the angels when he used to be really close to Allah. And then he messed up and didn't obey Allah. So the next one is the books. And this is one where we're also weak today. Many, many Muslims will tell you. I mean, like probably 99.99% of all Muslims will immediately say the Quran in the Arabic language is exactly the same as it always has been. And there's no doubt in it whatsoever. Dhalikul kitabu la rayba fi. This is a book wherein there is no doubt. Am I right? Yeah. And maybe even 100%, but I always like to leave a door open somewhere. Okay? But 99.99%, anywhere you'll go in the world, you're going to find all Muslims are going to say, the Quran is from Allah. Okay? Now you have some people who are deviant, who are pretending to be Muslim, who are writing things and saying things that are wrong. Like one who said, and I read it in a translation of Quran, he said that the Quran came out of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was either in a dream or passed out or something. Yeah, Marmaduke Pickthall translation says that. Oops. Oh. Means what? Means don't use that translation anymore. Don't do that, because his idea where the Quran came from, it even starts out wrong. But what we don't worry about these translations. Let's go to the Arabic. Look at the Arabia. And that's where you're going to learn the Quran. Okay? Next, in the subject of books, we do believe in what was sent down to you, O Muhammad, wa min qablik. What was sent down to those people before you. And that's in the same beginning of the surah of Baqarah. So we as Muslims believe in all of the books. We believe in the Zabur of Dawood, which is the Psalms of David. And we believe in the Suhuf of Ibrahim and Musa, which are the scrolls or scriptures of Abraham and Moses. We believe in all of the books and all of the texts and all of the scriptures that were sent to Allah, sent by Allah to the human beings. We believe in them. We also believe they don't exist anymore. But some of the teaching still is apparent in what they have. That is why it's incorrect. And listen to one of the things that will tear up your belief real quick. Something that will tear up your belief real quick is to begin to argue about any of the 6 points that we mentioned. And one of the things is to begin to argue with Christians about their Bible. This will tear up your faith because it's a condition of faith in Islam. Believe me, it will. How many of you know there's a famous video that's been passed around about a famous debate between a Muslim scholar and a Christian so-called scholar who even said he wasn't a scholar when the whole thing started. I don't know if you know which one I'm talking about. Do you? No, don't say it. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. Don't ever use that. That will not call anybody to Islam. If they liked it, then they would have liked Islam anyway without that. But what you're doing with that thing, it says in it, is the Bible the Word of God, and wallahi, it's the obligation of every Muslim to say yes, not no. Is the Bible the Word of God? Yes. In the original, it absolutely, positively, without any doubt, was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every part of it, yes or no? So why would we make an argument against that? And people do this because shaitan comes to your ego and tells you, here's a way to be famous. Or here's a way to get a lot of people to show up for a program. Or here's something to get a lot of Christians to listen. But when they walk out the door, they hate your guts. The Trinity Ministries in San Antonio, Texas is selling that same video for $25 a pop. Along with all of the other debate tapes, and they sell them right along with their Praise Jesus tapes because they know it will turn people against Islam. Now, if you understood what I just said, it means what? It means that we cannot attack the religion and revelation before us. That's a way of losing your own faith. Your own iman goes down when you begin to do this. It's a bad practice. This is something conditional. We believe in what was sent down to Muhammad and what was sent down before. The fact they don't have it anymore is, you know, not our problem. But I've told many Christians, preachers, priests, bishops, listen to me. Your book is confirmed in our book. You don't have to have a doubt anymore. I saw a program today. Today's Easter Sunday, right? I saw a program this morning on TV, and they were talking about the Bible, and they said they have over 5,000 copies of something from the original. But of course they don't have the original. Do we have the original Quran? Absolutely. We have it absolutely, because Quran doesn't mean a book. It means recitation. Do we have anybody who can recite the Quran just like the Prophet ﷺ recited it? We have over 9 million people that can do that today. They're called Hafiz of Quran. Yes or no? So we have our original book. And they don't. But our book tells them their original book was right. Don't worry about it. But if you're in doubt about your book and your Bible, come and look at the Quran and it will straighten you out. You want to know what Jesus said? We got it. Read Surah Al-Maryam. Read the end of Surah Al-Ma'idah. And you will find out what Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, peace be upon him, said. No problem. But don't argue with them about their book. You lose double. First, you lose them. They're never, ever going to want to be around you again. They'll hate Islam and become people who attack us. And number two, you'll reduce your own level of iman because you're attacking something that's a part of our aqidah. So don't do that. Now, if they bring the Bible in English and show it to you, your first response is what? Jesus spoke English? Moses spoke English? Bring me the original and we'll talk. Until you can do that, I have an original. Why should I go backwards? And remember the statement the one made to me? If your faith is better than my faith, I'm willing to go to it. But already we found an area right here where my faith happens to be based on something I can tangibly hear right with my ears anytime. The Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك كتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. Anytime you want to go, we can do it in the original language. Ask them, can you do that with your book? Huh? Go ahead. How many words do they know in the original language? We know more original words from their book than they do. How about Masihi? Is that in our book? They call it Messiah. All right, that's cool. We'll accept that. Jesus is the Messiah. Well, our book told you that. What's your problem? You don't believe that? Yes, we do. If we don't, we're not a Muslim. It says in our book, he's the Masihi. He's the Messiah. It's the Jews that don't believe it. We do. Hello? You guys cottoned up to the wrong wagon, boy. That's Texas for you went the wrong way. Anyway, what we're going to move through to the next and take a look at the other items of faith. We believe in what? The prophets. We're never going to insult the prophets. We believe in all of them. It's not right for us to insult Isa alayhi salam. It's not right for us to insult Musa alayhi salam. We believe in Moses and Jesus. We believe in David and Solomon. We believe in Lut. We believe in Adam. We never make jokes about them. We don't make fun of them. And we don't insult them. We don't put their character down low. Like something it said in the Bible against the prophet Lut that he had sex with his own daughters. A'udhu billah, astaghfirullah. We would never say this about any prophet. The things it says in the Bible about some of the prophets make you sick. We never say this. We put the prophets up high. Higher than the average human being. Way above average human being. They're so close to Allah, but they're not Allah. They're so close to Allah that they have a high status. And those people say, "Aman, we believe in Allah, wa His malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rasuli, la nufarika baina ahadin min rasuli." And we make no distinction between any of these prophets. Is that right or wrong? So we put them up high, high. Only thing is we take Jesus out of the level of God or Son of God, and He's down with those other high prophets. Okay? That's what we believe. The day of judgment. We will be back, raised up in the body. Anybody said other than that, they didn't understand Islam. And when they don't believe right, it'll bring their faith down. You've got to believe it. Allah can create you back just like He did in the first place. Many times mentioned this in the Quran, it's a condition of belief. You are coming back in body. In full body. Oh yeah. And then finally, the Qadr of Allah. And we've talked on this subject many, many times as a whole program. It's very big. Simply said, this is not debatable. I heard one person say, "Oh, the scholars, they're having ijtima about this." And I said, "You mean ikhtilaf, don't you?" They said, "What's that?" I said, "Argument." He said, yeah, that. I said, "You don't know what you're talking about. No scholar of Islam is having any problem with the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an area of belief. How could you say, well, we're having a problem with one of the basic pillars of belief in Islam?" But because we're in the last days, brothers and sisters, because we're at the very end of the time, when the Prophet ﷺ warned us about these days, when their knowledge would be nowhere and ignorance everywhere, that's why we're in this kind of state today. That's why our iman is so low. The Qadr of Allah is a condition of belief. It's not optional. We believe in all of the good and the evil comes from Allah. We don't say anything other than this. Allah knows ahead of time before He created what was going to happen. And you do have free choice, even though it's all planned by Allah, because you don't know what Allah planned. So you're being rated not by what you do or achieve, but rather what your intention while you're trying to do it. You're being judged by your what? Innama amalu bin niyat. You're being judged by your intention. So that's the final point. All of this needs a lot more explanation, of course. That's why I encourage you to go to your imams and go to the websites where they have the good teaching, like IslamTomorrow.com, and learn and take time. We do have tapes and CDs. No tapes today. CDs that are here, you can take them with you. And I highly encourage all of you to participate in circles of learning, because that's where you're going to get the real message of Islam. So we're going to break now and have our salat. You've been listening to Islam Tomorrow, broadcasting live from Toronto, Canada. With me on my left is Abdul Malik and all of the brothers and sisters here. I'm going to ask you guys, you don't have a microphone, so you got to be really loud. Let everybody out there listening hear you say Salaam Alaikum. Salaam Alaikum. Barakallahu Fikum. Wassalamu Alaikum Warahmatullahi Wabarakatuh.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah.